morning.
Thanks for being on here this morning. I think most of you on here I've had communication with, but there's some numbers I don't recognize, so I'll introduce myself. My name is Matt Kuhn. I'm the National Sales Director with Pacesetter. I know we have a handful of people that are on for the first time with us ever today, so welcome. Thank you for being with us. And again, for those guys that are new here, we have a pretty relaxed format. It's always an open forum to discuss anything that's on your mind or get help, ask questions. We don't turn anything away. So we always have a good mix of veteran producers and rookie agents that are already out doing it and doing it well. And a lot of times guys on here that haven't sold a thing yet or haven't even worked a lead yet. So if you have a question on something, chances are somebody else does too, so don't ever hesitate to throw it out. So I've got a few things to cover, just kind of random stuff today, but things that I think that will be helpful. Before I do that, does anybody have a question on their mind that they want to throw out to everybody? Okay. A few things that I wanted to just announce or touch on real quick. Most of you who are contracted with Security National Life should have saw that they officially, which is about a year after it was supposed to be officially, but officially unveiled their e-app, their web application on this Wednesday. So that is actually up, ready to go. All the bugs are worked out. You don't need a secret web address to get to it anymore. I mean, it's out in the public. So you should have received an email on that. The process for that is simple. I mean, it's right in the new business tab once you log onto the web portal now. So once you click on new business, there's actually three options under there, and one of them is web application. You click on that and it'll take you right through it. And it's the simplest web application I know of that's out there. It's bare bones, just getting the information. For the signature, you don't have to sign on a screen or go to a VeriSign or anything like that. It's let the client type their name in as their signature. The only thing that's changed since it was in the beta stage is they've added a verification, an identity verification step at the end. So after they've accepted the application, you know, it's came back and told you preferred standard agreed and they've accepted it. There's, I think, three identity verification steps. And they're real similar, like if you've ever pulled your own credit report before. It's asking random stuff about your past. So which one of these counties was formerly associated with you, and it'll have 10 counties on there, and one of them is where the client has previously lived. So they'll have to say, oh yeah, Clay County, I used to live in Clay County, or previous address, things like that. So, but it's, again, pretty simple, extremely fast. I haven't heard of any bugs, problems, issues since it became official on Wednesday. So hopefully they have everything figured out on it. Has anybody used that since Wednesday, since they put it on the website?
Not yet.
Okay. I just didn't know if anybody had any problems or holdups on it. I know last week Ryan had a couple that had stalled out on him, but hopefully now that they've got it put up on the website that it's good to go. But, you know, with that, we've got a lot of carriers that you can get extremely fast and easy 100% approval while you're in the house. It's tough to not do one of those right now. When we look at the time we can save and the headaches we can save, you know, if you're not using a carrier that's giving you 100% go ahead while you're in the house, then you should probably look at it just to prevent underwriting problems. Of course, we do have some other niches or niche products such as Americo Ultra Protector that, you know, still good to use, very good to use in certain situations, and you don't get an answer on it. But, you know, given the underwriting circumstances you're looking at, it might still be worth it, even though you're not getting an answer on it. Another thing that was announced this week, Americo announced a new bonus program that they put forth, which is got a lot of potential. I mean, they actually doing that instead of their incentive trip now, and they used to spend big money on incentive trips. So hopefully, you know, if their commitment going forward is to take all that money that was going into incentive trips and putting it into actual cash bonuses for agents, there'll be a lot of money to be earned out there. What they announced right now is just an 8% cash bonus. Got to do at least $30,000 of issued and paid production in a 6-month period. So if you can issue and pay $5,000 a month with Americo, you're going to get 8% cash bonus. That's paid out twice a year. So in, it was in June and in December, they'll pay that out. So if you look at the fact that Americo in general pays better than other carriers, and then they're going to add another 8% cash bonus, then that's something to take a strong look at. It's good that we have options, but whoever you decide your primary carrier is, you know, you've got a lot of options to choose from that are going to pay you well, have an easy process, give you an answer in the house. I think America is one to look at. Again, we don't care who you write your business with. You know, find one that you're comfortable with and make them your go-to carrier. But you definitely, Americo deserves another look in that regard. Another thing I wanted to touch on, because I've had conversations with a couple different guys this week about this, was bad lead credits. So you get leads, any leads that are non-qualifying. All that information is in the lead agreement, what is considered a bad lead and what you can get credit for. But make sure you send those to me so we can get you credited or get your replacement lead. If we have, you know, extra leads in inventory for you, then I'll get your replacement sent out immediately for it. If we don't, then it'll get put on the record and make up for it the next week. You know, with an extra lead to replace that one. But again, the things that you really want to look at, you know, your ages, anything that's outside of your age parameters. So most people are working ages 60 to 80. And we have to give RGI a 1-year cushion on each side of that. So actually 59 to 81. So anything that's younger than 59, older than 81, make sure you just send me the name in the town or city. You don't have to send me a copy of the lead or anything like that, because that's all in the system still. So just send me an email, not a text, because my emails are, I make sure I clear those out every night, so it'll definitely get addressed. My texts can get lost in the flow some. So make sure you send me an email, the name, city, and we'll get it taken care of for you. But age is one. Another one, if you get a card that's completely blank, send that to me. We'll give you credit for it. A P.O. box that doesn't have a way to contact them. So a P.O. box has got to have at least a phone number or a physical address or an email. If you got one of those, it's considered a lead. But if it's a P.O. box and doesn't have those on it, then send it in to me. A lead that says do not contact me, you know, not don't call or don't stop by, but flat leave me alone. I do not want to be contacted, period. We can get credit for that. A lead that states on there that the person is deceased, so it's sent to Bill Smith and somebody sends it back, says Bill is deceased, then we can get a credit on that. Again, make sure you get those sent in. We want you to send those in, because it's not, we don't profit off the lead system at all. So it's not like we're making money if we're, you know, sending out non-qualifying leads. You know, those are guaranteed by our vendor, by RGI. And if you don't send it back into us, then you know, you're the one that is on the short end of the stick. Again, we don't profit from it all. We want you to send them in because we want to be able to request a credit on them. So the easiest thing is when you get your leads for the week, just skim them real quick. Make sure they're all qualifying leads. I mean, what I do is when I'm before I get ready to print out a PDF of the leads, I just scan down real quick, age, address, age, address, age, address, and then I can look and see real quick if there's one that's not qualifying. Again, just send me an email on it. So, in general, we don't have a whole lot of bad leads that come through there. You know, RGI actually scans those or scrubs those to some degree. So if there's any complete junk on there, you know, or it's not even close to being a lead, they'll get rid of it from the start. But you know, usually you'll see one or two sneak through that have a bad age or something. So make sure you just let us know that. Anybody have any questions on that? Okay. The next thing I wanted to get into, and hopefully we can get some guys to throw out some different ideas on what works for them and what doesn't work for them on this, was following up on insufficient funds. And some of you guys, it might just be automatic or second nature for you on how you handle that. But some of the newer guys, they haven't quite figured it out yet. You know, unfortunately, there will be insufficient funds. And that's just the demographic that we work in. When you're working with final expense clientele, it's inevitable that there's going to be insufficient funds that pop up here and there. And it's important to address those. Obviously, from a commission standpoint, you don't want to be getting charged back on something. Bring you back to square zero where you haven't made any money on that policy. Another thing is just your persistency. You know, policies that are falling off due to insufficient funds, it's going to hurt your persistency, which can affect you for company bonuses, company incentive trips. Can also, you know, just eventually if your persistency gets bad, then companies can terminate due to that. So definitely something you want to stay on top of. Our insufficient funds that we see, they're usually pretty easy to clean up and get back on track, you know, especially if it's happening 3 months or more down the road. Some of the early insufficient funds can lead more down towards the path of canceled or canceled, not taken. But if it's happening 3 or more months down the road, it's obviously a good client. I mean, they've been paying it. They know they want it. They know they need it. Some of them just simply don't know when an insufficient funds has occurred because, as you guys know, not all of our clients are checking their bank statement every month. Some of them don't even get a bank statement, don't care to. So if there's insufficient funds that occurred, they might not even know about it. All of our carriers do a good job of letting you know when that happens. And I think that the biggest advice that I can give to you on following up on those is to do it right away. So as soon as you get notification that something was insufficient funds, you need to be proactive and following up on that. I do want to add this in there also. The best way to prevent insufficient funds is with your draft business. I mean, you should be very adamant in the fact that your clients draft on when they're getting the same day they're getting paid, which for most of our clients is either going to be the first, the third, or the second, third, or fourth Wednesdays. And you should set your draft on that day. You know, even if they say, well, I get my Social Security on the third, but I want a cushion in case it's ever late, let's put it on the 10th. We don't do that. You can do the first, the third, the second, third, or fourth Wednesday. And you will prevent a lot of headaches for yourself and conserve a lot of business if you just make sure you do it that way. And I'll give you something, you know, example that I do is, you know, if somebody says, I get it on the third, but I don't want it drafted till the fifth. I say, that's not a problem at all. We're actually going to set it up for the third, which that's the date we process it. That's the day we send it to the bank. It's not going to clear your account till the 5th, though, because it's going to take at least 48 hours for it to clear once it gets there. But you don't want to be setting the draft date up on random dates in hopes that things are going to work out. First, third, second, third, or fourth Wednesdays will prevent a lot of the insufficient funds that you have. I'll kind of share what I do when I follow up on insufficient funds with the client, and then if anybody else wants to share what they do, we'd appreciate that. But as soon as I get an insufficient funds, the first thing I do is I call them up, and I think it's important that you don't, don't shame them for it, because that's where we end up down the path of cancellation. But I always call it a mix up at the bank. You know, hey, Betty, this is Matt with your Security National Life. Just wanted to give you a holler. Looks like we had a mix up at the bank. I don't know what happened exactly there, but for some reason your premium for the month of February here was returned, and I just wanted to get that cleared up with you. Most of our carriers have options for you for getting that caught up, be it draft today. So say it was supposed to go through on the 15th on Wednesday here. It came back with insufficient funds. If you want to go ahead and draft right away on the 17th or 18th, they'll let you do that. I always throw that out there for a client, but it's very, very rarely that that is actually the option that we go with. It's a simple fact that if they didn't have that money on the 15th, which is when they got paid, then they probably don't have it now, and they're probably not going to have it till next month. So I just, Betty, we've got a couple options. We can either go ahead and draft today, if you want to get the February taken care of, or what a lot of our clients do, Betty, we can just actually have this set up to double draft in the month of March. And, 9 out of 10 times, that's what the client's going to go with. So after that, you need to make sure that you're on top of it, taking care of it, though. So do not say, okay, well, Betty, you call Security National Life and tell them you want them to double draft on March 15th. Say, all right, Betty, hold on a second here. I'm going to get on a three-way call with billing, with the billing office, and we'll get this taken care of. So click over, call into Security National Life, get the customer service on the line with you, and just tell them, here's the policy number. I've got Mrs. Smith on the line. She wants us to double draft in March. I'm going to click her over with us. Click her back into the call. Customer service will take it over from there. But that's what I think is the absolute best way, is to get the client on the three-way call, call into the customer service of whichever carrier it is, and get it set up to double draft the next month. As kind of a carrier differences in this standpoint, Americo does that by default. If you have a insufficient funds in February, Americo is automatically going to double draft in March to get it caught up. They send a client out notifying them of that. So if that February 15th draft came back, by middle of next week, they're going to have a letter in the mail that says, unfortunately your draft was returned for insufficient funds. In order to conserve your coverage for you, what we're going to do is set up a double premium in the month of March. Here's what the amount will be. I think that's huge. I wish all carriers did that, because I think that double draft the following month is the most effective way we have to clear it up. And by doing that immediately, it takes off all the other work that we have on our part to actually get in touch with them and to follow up and to get a three-way call going. But America will do that automatically. It's going to double draft the next month. Security National Life has nothing that's going to happen automatically, but they do have an actual conservation department of ladies that are calling. So as soon as that insufficient fund comes back, they actually have a team of people that are calling out to those clients in attempt to find a remedy, whether that's draft right now, double draft next month. So a lot of these insufficient funds that come back, they'll actually take care of sometimes before you even know that it happened. But usually the process with Security National Life is if there's a draft returned, it goes to the conservation team. They're trying to call and do something about it. If they can get something done on it, something scheduled, either a draft right now or next month, you're not even going to know it happened. But when they can't remedy it themselves is when you get the notification of it. So then they're going to send you a notification. You know, you get a late slash lapse report, once a week for them. They're going to send you how far behind it is. And it's got all the information right there on it. And so if they haven't been able to follow up on it, then you can follow up on it. And sometimes that comes down to, you know, your client is not going to answer a phone number from Utah because they don't know who it is. They're not going to take the motivation to return the phone call. But when they see your local area code pop up, they jump right on it, they answer it, and they're more than willing to, you know, find a way to fix the problem. They just had to hear from you on it. So Security National Life, nothing happens automatically as far as without the client's approval, but they do have a team that's following up on it. Other carriers like Rural Neighbors doesn't, I mean, it's all back on you with Rural Neighbors. They do a good job of letting you know right away and then letting you know periodically where you stand with that. But you 100% need to take the initiative to do something about that, or it's just going to lapse. The client's going to get a letter in the mail noting that it's insufficient funds and their policy's in grace. But unless you can get that client to get a payment plan going to get it fixed, then nothing's going to happen. Would anybody else like to share their experiences, what they do for far following up on insufficient funds, what they find effective on that? Nobody? Got it. All right. I've got a couple other things to move into. One thing is just from an ethics standpoint. Obviously, a lot of things we just assume from an ethics standpoint that you're going to do business ethically. The only reason I bring this up is with some of the e-app options that we have, it just presents a case where guys think might feel like they can cut some corners from the ethics standpoint and nobody's going to know any different. And I just throw this out there to let you know that people will know different. For instance, the Security National Life e-app, you must be face-to-face with the client. They say that. It's in documentation on it. You actually attest to that fact during the application process. So you cannot call somebody that's, I don't care if it's across town or a different city or a different state. You cannot do that Security National Life e-app unless you are face-to-face with somebody. And like I said, and it presents a lot of opportunities for guys to cut corners. And the thing to keep in mind too is that all these carriers, no matter what their underwriting process is, no matter what the status quo is on how things are usually done, they all have the option to call out and verify that you are face with the client, to call out and verify that they signed the application. So like I said, don't get lackadaisical on what requirements are, just because the method, presents itself to that. So again, must be face to face, with AmeriCo. Again, they have an e-app. If you're, doing the AmeriCo, you don't have to be face to face. You can do the e-app across state lines. So you can be sitting in one city, doing an e-app in another city. The only thing is you just have to make sure you use the proper signature protocol for that. So if you're doing an e-app and your client's in a different city and you're not face-to-face, you have to make sure that you select the email for signature. So it'll send an email out to them. They can sign it on their smartphone or their computer. It registers back through the VeriSign. You can finish the application. You cannot get a paper signature on Monday and then transfer it over to an e-signature on Tuesday when you get back to the office. They must physically sign the iPad. And again, I know a lot of that should go without being said, but just so we know it's out there and that it has been said. And with the AmeriCo too, I mean, you don't have to be face-to-face. Just use the correct procedure, whether it's email for signature or whether it's a phone app. You can do either one of those without being face-to-face. Anybody have any questions on that? I know that's some stuff that's just above board, but just as a reminder.
Hey, Matt, this is Greg.
Yep.
Just something on the e-app, in case these people who are listening in on the call are new to it. One thing that they always do is they track the IP address of where, if you're doing, like I did the AmeriCo Eagle, and they know exactly what city that person signed it in. So I'm here in Bakersfield. If I'm going up to Northern California, they'll track the IP address, and they'll know exactly where they signed it, whether it was out of state or not. If you're out of state, you must be licensed in that state. So it keeps us from being lazy on it.
Absolutely. That's a good point. And I can tell you, too, in the talks that I've had with people in America, they're also looking at time. You know, if you're sending in a live signed application at 3:00 in the morning, they're going to question it. And the first thing they're going to do is when they get back in the office in the morning, they're going to call that client up. Did you meet with Greg Avalos at 3 a.m. last night? The client's going to say, 3 a.m.? No, I met with Greg 2 days ago. Okay. Well, did you sign this at 3 a.m. last night? No, I did not. And then there's going to be issues. I can tell you, I'll just give you an example of a case that we had with an agent just a couple of weeks ago, but he just got contracted with AmeriCo. And was waiting for his contract to come through because he knew he had people he could write with him. He actually had a church group set up. So he had 5 people that were ready and waiting. He'd already presented, you know, the product and made the sale. They were ready and waiting to do the paperwork. Well, he met with them and banged through 5 e-apps right there. Boom, 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 boom. Had only been contracted for like 24 hours. Well, AmeriCo saw it come in, and there was 5 back-to-back-to-back-to-back e-apps, you know, all within 2 hours that came in. Well, that was boom. That was red flag for them. So they called out, and they talked to all of them and, you know, wanted to make sure that it was above board. There's odd situations where stuff like that can happen, and it's completely legit, but they're on top of it. I mean, so like Greg said, with the IP address, with the time that applications come in, and I can tell you that there's no warning. There's no slap your hand and let's do this the right way. I mean, if they ever find out that you're doing something shady like that, they will terminate, and that's a termination for cause. And then once you have a termination for cause, that goes on your permanent record. And every time you try to appoint with another carrier, you have to answer that question, yes. Yes, I've been terminated for cause. And it just it makes your life as an insurance agent much more difficult from here on. So just a reminder that, you know, if you ever have those thoughts that, boy, this would be easier and nobody would ever know, and they'll know. It's something that you get caught on eventually. We've got a lot of really friendly processes in front of us. So just use the ones that work for your situation. And don't try to cut any corners on it. So, all right. Anybody have anything they want to talk about? Anything they want to throw out? Okay. Another thing I have on here to share with you all is just an app, a phone app, not an insurance app, but a phone app for your smartphone. If you don't have it, I find it very useful when I'm in the field, but it's called TurboScan, and it just turns your phone into a scanner. So you're going out and you had to get an amendment signed for Security National Life. Well, you can go into the house, meet with Mrs. Jones, get the amendment signed, step right back into your car, use TurboScan, which will use your camera on your phone to scan any document straight into a PDF, and you can upload then from that TurboScan straight to Security National. So instead of having to wait another day to get home and fax it in or email it in or whatever, you can actually scan that while you're in the field. I find it useful. I just thought I'd throw it out there in case anybody else could use it. It's not every week when we need to be able to get something in a hurry, but if you do need to get a document into an office in a hurry, TurboScan works really well for that. And depending on what you use for phone systems and such, you can even fax it in there. I use Ring Central for all of my business phone services. So once I scan that in, I can go to Ring Central and fax it to whoever it needs to be straight from on there too. Next, I've a lot of people have requested AIG contracting, and I've sent a lot of it out, but haven't seen a lot of it come back in. Completely up to you. We don't force you to contract with anybody, but if you're wanting to get that AIG contracting done, please make sure you get it back sent back in to myself or Lisa. They're looking about, I think it's been about a week and a half to 2 weeks for a contracting turnaround with AIG. Another thing is our lead co-op. If you're not taking advantage of that, it's just another great way for you to save some money on the lead costs. We all know that lead costs are a significant part of doing business when you're in final expense. If you can take advantage of that lead co-op, that helps you out. That flyer's on our website. We talked a little bit last week about our field underwriting guide and using that when you're in a house to help you decide where to put a client at. And I talked to a few guys in the past week that still had an old copy of that. I think we updated that like the third week of January, and I believe we emailed it out to everybody. But if you haven't printed out the most recent copy of that, make sure you do so. And it's got a revision date in the bottom right-hand corner. And the one you're using needs to say updated January 26th. So if you're using one that has a date before that, then throw it away and download the new one, because there's changes, additions, and everything else that were made to that.
Hi, Matt, excuse me. What company was that with the updated app? What company?
That is actually not an app. That was our field underwriting guide.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
That's got all the carriers listed and health conditions, and that helps you out with product selection.
Thank you.
As far as updated apps, we really haven't seen a whole lot of companies update apps of lately. The only one that I can remember in the past few months, in the past 6 months probably, is Rural Neighbors redid their regular Whole Life or their Essential Whole Life application in most states. So if you write that, I know some of you guys write a significant amount of that for the 20 pay life and the life 65. Just make sure you have the updated app for that. And that does actually on those products. If you haven't ever used those products, make sure you keep that in mind, which is the Essential Whole Life from Rural Neighbors. If you get into a situation where you're in a price war, you need a better rate, they've got a great rate for Whole Life. It's a little bit more stringent on the underwriting than the simplified issue Whole Life is, but it can help you in a price war. Also, if you have a client that's relatively healthy looking for higher face amounts, I guess $30,000, $50,000, whatever it is, and they're in good health, that Essential Whole Life's a great product for them. If you have a healthy client that is real concerned about paying in more, you know, too long. You know, God, I'm 50 years old and I get that, and I live to be 90. I'm paying on it forever. Well, that Essential Whole Life has a 20 pay option to where they can have it paid up in 20 years. And you compare that to the simplified issue, you know, life pays or whole life pays, it's a good deal. I mean, I had wrote a 20 pay, I think it was 3 weeks ago, and she was in good health, and I think it was 30,000. So from a face standpoint, I could have wrote it a lot of different places. She wasn't real excited about, you know, paying until the day that she died. So we looked at a 20 pay option for her, and it cost like, I think it was $8 or $10 more. That's all, to do it and have it paid up at 70 years old. So that's definitely a product to look at, you know, when you get in the situations. And a lot of times it just depends on the clientele that you're in front of. If you have, you know, clients that are a little bit more in tune with their finances and what's going on, that's going to be more appealing to them. To where you have a lot of other final expense clients, you know, they don't care how long they're paying on it or if it'll ever be paid up or anything like that. They want the cheapest monthly premium they can find. You know, it's kind of similar to those same clients when they go to the car lot. They don't ask about the interest rate. They don't ask about if it's for 3 years or for 7 years. They want to know what the monthly payment is. So those are just two things to think about. Helpful to have in your bag. Those are paper apps. Helpful to have in your bag if you get in a situation like that, and it's something that can be useful for you. Another thing on Rural Neighbors, don't forget that they have the a phone app, an app for your iPhone or your Android or whatever you got. But there's an app that you can put on there to easily figure Rural Neighbors quotes. And you can actually put in the client's age, sex, tobacco status, state, and you can pull up then for that client, you can see what the simplified issue would run them. You can see what a 20 pay life would run them, what the paid up at 65, what the regular essential life. You can quote all of those right in there. So it makes it a lot easier to, or makes those other products more accessible to you, because you don't have to have a separate rate book for them and hand figure the rates. You can easily pull up and say, well, yeah, I realize you're not crazy about, you know, the, you know, pay until you die on this, but, you know, what about this 20 pay option? So if you don't have that, and you can get that from their website, because it's not a public app that you'll find in the app store by searching for it, I don't think. But if you go to their website, there's a link on there that you can click to download that Rural Neighbors app. And somebody had asked me this week if Rural Neighbors has an e-app, and they don't. They sent out what I thought was kind of a confusing email this week about another iPhone/Android app that they have. It's called App Uploader, and that is not an e-app. It's rather just a portal for you to upload any paper documents to them. So you'll see a link to that also if you go in to download the quoter or the Agent Access app.
Actually, they do. It's for their jet term.
Yeah. I was speaking to the final expense.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, their jet term, which is a new product as of, what was that, probably October, November?
Yeah.
Yeah, a new product as of then. That is actually an e-app, instant decision in the house on the jet term with Rural Neighbors. But that's... hopefully they would look to do an e-app for final expense, which would be great. But I have not heard any wind of that. So has anybody wrote that jet term? Have you used that ever, Greg?
I haven't used it. I've got three cases that came up this week. I'll probably be writing at least two of them. And the reason being is I looked at all of our carriers with their term rate. for somebody healthy and looking for a 30-year term. And it seems like it's the most competitive out there that we of the carriers we have.
Now, and I haven't compared myself. Did you compare that to that term Made Simple?
For Occidental, no. I compared it to Foresters. I compared it to UHL and one other one.
Okay.
America. The HMS series, America.
Okay. I'll be interested to see. We've got a new product that's through Occidental / American Amicable, a new term product that I've only glanced at it real quick, but it was very competitive term rates or simplified issue term rates that if you run across any term clients can be helpful and can be written without being face-to-face, either the phone or through an electronic process. But it's out there, and we don't run into a ton of term clients working the leads that we do work, but when you run across them, it pays to have something ready for them and make sure that you're able to write it. That's all I have on my agenda today. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to talk about?
Yeah, Matt, I'd like to throw it out to the agents out there. This is Mike. Since I'll be waiting about probably 3 more weeks for my automatic weekly leads, I was wondering if anyone has had any successes or use any avatar leads or telemarketing leads they want to share. Thank you.
Now, I know there's guys on here that have used telemarketing leads. Speak up. Just share your experiences with him.
Everybody's shy today.
I think everybody's asleep. They logged in and went back to sleep. I'll give you a brief overview. I think Mike, you and I have talked about it a little bit, but I'll share it just for the other folks that are on here. You know, I mean, in general, it's a you get what you pay for. Avatar leads are, in my experience, extremely hit and miss. I've had some decent experience, decent, you know, results with avatar leads. And then I've had, you know, another, I can think of a specific batch, about 100 avatar leads, because I really wanted to get a feel for them, and they were horrible. I mean, they were just the most indigent clients that had no idea of, you know, and I was following up like within 24 hours, and they had no idea what I was talking about or, you know, who was on there. You get the recording so you can hear that they're on there, and that, yes, they agreed to be contacted, and yes, they said yes at the right time. But when you called to follow up, it was as cold as could be. I mean, you might as well have gotten a phone book out. And, you know, and that's just, you know, in general, what we get at that price point. You know, like I said, I've had some avatars where I went out and wrote, you know, a little bit of business off of them. And, you know, given the situation, if it's a matter of sitting at home doing nothing, versus, you know, having somebody to see, getting in front of people, seeing, you know, what you can shake out of the bushes or end up in front of somebody else or a grandchild policy or referral or something. I would definitely say avatar leads are better at sitting at home. Because we all know if we're not out in the field and we're not in front of people, we're not going to get anything done. So better than that. But if we have other options, I think we're better off with other options. Now, the leads that I've heard better things about are the live telemarketing leads. And again, those are cheaper than direct mail. I mean, you're looking at, you know, roughly less than half the cost of a direct mail lead. But again, your close is going to be lower, or your premium per lead is going to be lower than it is with direct mail. But if I was going to do anything other than direct mail, which I think we all understand that direct mail is the bread and butter for final expense, but if I was going to do anything other than that, it would probably be either live telemarketing leads or internet leads. To touch on internet leads also, internet leads can be very good depending on, you know, who you're getting them from and which ones you're working, but they're also expensive. You know, most internet leads are running $35 plus. Some of them you can find cheaper. Usually if you're finding like a $20 internet lead, it's a shared lead, which means that, yeah, you got it, but so did 3, 4, 10 other agents, you know, bought the same lead, and then it's a race to the door, and then a price battle at that point trying to beat other agents out. So I wouldn't recommend doing any internet leads unless they're 100% exclusive.
Thanks, Matt.
Yep. Anybody else have anything they'd like to add?
Hey, Matt, I'll throw one more thing out there. I was following up on a prospect going to knock on his door, and there was a door hanger already there from a company, Old American Insurance Company, and I see they're from Kansas City, Missouri. Do you know that company? Are they captive, or can you tell me anything about them?
I do. I know them well, actually.
Yep.
I spent a number of years with Old American first starting out. They are what I like to call Old American is quasi-captive, meaning no, they're not truly captive. They can't have other carriers, but their agents are strongly discouraged from having other carriers. It's a good company. Usually rate-wise, they're not going to be that competitive. Okay. It's something that, you know, if you go head-to-head, you're usually going to be able to beat them by a margin that's significant enough to win the sale or replace the sale that's out there. They are more competitive at higher face amounts. Yeah, like I said, generally, I've yet to run across an Old American policy that I can't replace or that I can't beat. Usually just because the options that we have, you know, you're going to be in a better situation to find the person a better rate than what Old American can offer them. Other than that, I mean, it's a good company. But usually if you come across them, you'll be able to beat them.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Anybody else have anything? Last chance.
Hey, Matt, you've hit, oh, this is Jeff. You hit on AIG a little bit last week. Can you tell me the difference between AIG and Gerber for the guaranteed issue?
Yep. They're looking real similar in a lot of aspects. I did a little rate study on them. They're real close and everything. Usually females are going to be cheaper with AIG than they are Gerber. Males like 70 and below, Gerber is going to win. Higher age males, AIG looks to be a little bit lower. Commission-wise, in general, AIG is going to pay a better commission. They do have a different chargeback policy. So it is as earned, just like Gerber is. They're both identical on chargeback for death. And that's, you know, 100% chargeback of commissions if death occurs in the first year, 50% chargeback of commissions if death occurs in the second year. So those are identical. Where they're different is that AIG will charge back 25% of the commissions paid if a lapse occurs in the first 6 months. So it's, again, it's as earned, so you don't have any advance commissions to be charged back. But so say you write a $50 AIG policy, they pay for 5 months, and then in the sixth month, they lapse. Well, out of the commissions you received in months 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, they're going to charge back 25% of that, which is not real significant. Most people will look at their commission difference between Gerber and AIG, and it's more significant than an occasional or a random 25% chargeback is. But that is something, I mean, that's the difference between them. Another thing, AIG is going to go guaranteed issue all the way up to age 85. And Jeff, I know being in Missouri, that's an issue for us a lot of times on clients that are graded or guaranteed issued. But I checked and that's 85 all the way up in Missouri also. So that's something that's different, more helpful. Another thing is that AIG has two riders that are automatically included on every policy, one for chronic illness and one for terminal illness. So it's a guaranteed a GI product that actually has a terminal illness accelerated benefit. You can accelerate up to 50% of the face. And when I first looked at that, I thought, well, that's crazy on a guaranteed issue. These people are sick already. But it, how they cover themselves with that is it's up to the premiums you paid in. So $10,000 policy, they can accelerate $5,000 up to the premiums they paid in. So if they go to accelerate that 3 months after they've taken it out, they can only do it up to 3 months premium if they're going to accelerate. So that's one rider that's included on all of them. Another one that's included on all of them is the chronic illness. And they, from what I've seen, they purely define that chronic illness as ADLs. So if they can, I believe it's four of the six ADLs, if they're unable to perform four of the six ADLs, that's considered chronic illness. Again, they can accelerate up to 50% of the death benefit, up to a maximum of the premiums that are paid in. Other than that, they'll have a paper app and an e-app both. So you can do that on the iPad and without having to submit any paper or get any wet signatures on it. What else did I miss?
I was just mainly interested in the on the lapse return, and for 6 months at 25%, that's not a big deal.
No, it's really not, and that's not originally when they rolled that product out, probably 6-7 months ago. It was different than that. It was actually like a 100% chargeback for months 1 through 6 for lapse, and 50%. Months 7 through 12, and that was a big deal. I mean, that was kind of a deal killer, and I think they saw that they didn't get the traction they wanted, so they came back on that and changed it to just 25% months 1 through 6. So yeah, I mean, that's just a small fraction. It's just not going to be a very likely occurrence at all. Of the business that you write. They do accept debit cards also, so you can do bank draft or credit, direct express, debit. They accept all those moves.
And request future debit?
Yeah, to set the initial draft out.
All right, for the next month.
Yep. All right.
Thanks.
Yep. Anybody else have anything? All right. Well, thank you guys for being on here today. Appreciate it. Hope everybody has a great weekend. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks.